When Chandler and I lived up in Garberville, the first churches that we served many years ago, there was Garberville's kind of an alternative community in a lot of ways, and there was a little alternative medical clinic there, and the local, we called him the local hippie doctor. This doctor named Bill was the head of the medical staff there, and he was about our age, and he was Harvard Med educated and very smart and charismatic, and could have been sort of a star of the medical world anywhere that he went. But he decided, he was committed to working in rural health clinics. And his dad and his brother were both ministers. And one time when his dad was visiting, he brought his father to our church. He had heard about these new pastors in town and came to check us out and liked it and started to come to church regularly. And we're like, all right, you know, we're drawing in the elite of the community here. And we assumed that it was our brilliant preaching that got him there. And we got to be good friends with Bill. He was a musician as well. We played music with him for the whole time that we lived up there. And at one point we asked, one Sunday after church, one of the other of us, I can't remember who it was, said, "So, Bill, how'd you like the sermon?" And he got this sort of sheepish look on his face. And he said, "Well, it was fine. It was fine. But to be perfectly honest, I don't come to church for the preaching. I come to church to sing and cry." And I had to agree. I still have to agree. The church just wouldn't be church without music and tears. When I was thinking about when I first came here to Montclair and when I was in the interview process with the search committee, and part of what they do is they narrow the field to a few finalists and they bring them out, they interview them all weekend, and then the Sunday morning they preach at what's called a neutral pulpit, not their home church that they're serving at the time and not this church where they're being considered for the pastor, but they find some local church that will host the preacher for the morning so that the committee can go and hear them preach. So I was going to be preaching at a church in Piedmont, I think. It's all kind of a blur at this point in time. But I remember calling the pastor to work out the details of that, and he said, "Well, we have an 8:30 service and an 11 o'clock service, and you'll be doing the 8:30 service." And I thought, okay, I see what's going on. And he said, "And there's no music at that service." And I just assumed he meant there was no choir, because a lot of churches will do that. If they have two services, the choir sings at the big second service, and the early service is a smaller, simpler thing. But the more I talked to him, I realized there was no music. There was no organ, there was no piano, there was no hymns, there was no nothing. You basically stand up there and talk for a little while, and everybody goes home. So I'm basically auditioning to come and work here, and music is part of what I do. So I said, "Well, could I bring a guitar and just lead the people in some music?" And he said, "You could try." And as I recall, that pastor actually didn't serve there a whole lot longer. He wasn't a real enthusiastic guy. So I thought, oh, great, I'm going to preach the early service to a little group of people who don't like music. And there'll probably be about 20 people there, half of whom will be the search committee from Montclair Presbyterian Church. But as it turned out, there was a Niners game that morning at 10, so everybody came to the early service. Honest. And we got everyone singing. We actually had a pretty good time. Several people came up to me and said, "Well, if Montclair doesn't hire you, maybe you want to come here." So music in church serves several purposes, as you know. Music connects us with God. When we come here and we sing together, we'll be singing "Holy, Holy, Holy" at the end of this service, which is just this huge expanse of lots of great big notes, you know. "Early in the morning our song shall rise." It's all about God, and the sopranos are going to go up into the descant at the end, and everything will ring through the rafters, and you get that sense of the presence of God in the music. It also connects us with each other when we sing together as a group. We all breathe at the same time as you inhale between lines, and we hear each other, and the voices all blend together and unify us in a very particular way. But music in church, music in general, and music in church also connects us with our humanity. A good song opens up a little door to the human experience, and we say, oh, yeah, that's right. When you hear a line or you sing a line, that's just the perfect one. It's why country music is so appealing to people, because they go straight for the shared human experience. The hook or the title in the song, the little refrain, you just go, oh, yeah, that's right. That, you know, she's acting single and I'm drinking doubles kind of thing. You know, it's, oh, dude. Or in the house that I'm living in yesterday, there was some music that where it was, don't forget to remember me. You know, great. It's like, oh, yeah. Straight to the heart. So I'm going to be doing four songs here during this time, which are all songs that explore the human story in the context of our being here in church. And they're really, to me, they are reflections on the psalm, the 100th psalm that Joan read, make a joyful noise, serve the Lord with gladness, come before God's presence with a song. So the first song that we're going to do is sort of in that serve the Lord with gladness. We're going to do figure. This is one you can all sing along on. This is one our friend Bill gave us. He discovered it somewhere that I couldn't track down even with Google yesterday. But he said that, Chandler, this is for you because you're always trying to figure out what everything means. And so we can... Pardon? So the chorus just says, figure, 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 figure it out. And then you do that again.
If you didn't get it the first time, you figure it.
Well, there once was a man named Einstein. He tried to figure it out. Well, he figured it out. Figured and he figured and he figured that it couldn't be figured out. Figure, 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 figure it out. Figure, 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 figure it out.
There once was a man named Freud. He said, face what you're trying to avoid. He figured and he figured and he figured and he figured, but he never quite figured it out.
Figure, 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 figure it out. Figure, 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 figure it out. And there once was a man named Buddha. He tried to figure it out. Well, he figured that it wasn't worth figuring out. Figure, 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 figure it out. Figure, 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 figure it out. And there once was a famous guru who never said nothing at all. And people would come from miles around just to watch him figure it out. Well, he
She said everything works out in the end, so they named the cookie after her. The second song falls into the love and war category of the human experience. It's a traditional English folk song, hundreds of years old, passed along through the oral tradition. And it's a dialogue, actually, even though only one voice sings it. It's a dialogue between a young man, Billy, and his lover, Polly. And Billy is going off to war and is trying to convince Polly that she should go along with him. And to him, war is an adventure. And to her, war is a curse. So this is High Germany.
Oh, come the
lost my love the night you arrived. And all of my contentment shall be riding by my side. We'll stop at every alehouse and drink when we are dry. So quickly on the road my love will marry by and by. Oh, when I love oh, really, I don't mind what I can say. I think they are so tired and I'll go away. Besides, my dearest Billy, I am with child of me. No thinking for the cruel wars of my journey. One of the other things that I always have to work on when we're singing together in church is the whole question of inclusive language, especially for God. Do you sing about God as He? Do you sing about God as God and leave the pronouns out of it altogether? Or do you sort of mix the metaphors as much as you can in various ways? And in Psalm 100, it's always a challenge to read that psalm because there's lots and lots of He's. In Psalm 100, know that He, the Lord, is God, and it's He who made us, and we are His. And so you can try to leave out the pronouns, know that the Lord is God, it is God who made us, and we belong to God, and then it gets kind of laborious and loses the rhythm of the poetry. And even then, if you use the word Lord, you know, that's another masculine term, and so what are you supposed to do? So what we try to do is to mix it up as much as we can and at least confuse the metaphors and the pronouns a little bit so that people notice that something's happening. In baptism, you know, the baptismal formula usually is I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we've added a little coda to that, one God, mother of us all, so you get the both parental images as you're baptizing the child. And struggling with those stereotypes and those definitions and those boundaries of masculine and feminine and what do they mean is part of that human experience as well, not just in terms of God language, but part of the human work that each of us does, figuring out who we are within not just even the spectrum of male and female, but within this whole sort of universe of what it is to be a human being with all of these different attributes. So we've worked a lot here to make the boundaries between male and female as fuzzy and permeable as possible, in terms of God and in terms of human beings. So this next song that we're going to do is one that really, it's one of those songs where when I heard it for the first time, I was driving in my car, I had to pull over because it was so amazing and just stop and basically cry when it was done. It's like, oh, that is the perfect song about that whole experience of maleness and femaleness and masculine and feminine and how we all sort of live our way through that in our lives. So this is called When I Was a Boy. I won't forget when Peter Pan came to my house, took my hand. I said I was a boy. We saved each other's lives out on the pirate's deck. And I remember that night when I'm leaving a late night with some friends, and I hear somebody tell me it's not safe, someone should help me. I need to find a nice man to walk me home. When I was a boy, I scared the pants off of my mom, climbed what I could climb upon.
Cry now, even when I am alone.
Before I sing the last song, I have to take this opportunity to say thank you to the music staff that I've had the privilege of working with at Montclair Presbyterian Church. To have Nat Liu conducting the choir when I first came here, and then Brandon Adams coming in and directing the choir for those years that he was here. Just wonderful working relationships and great people to do this work with. And now to have Kim here as our choir director, who brings such grace and skill to the work, to the play. And she's so open to my ideas, and she turns them into something way better than I imagined. And she understands church, and she understands church people. And even more, she loves church, and she loves church people, and respects them, respects the gifts that you bring. And when I let myself, which I hardly ever do, but when I let myself open that door just a tiny little bit to think of what I lose as I leave MPC, one of my chief regrets is that I only had such a short time to work with Kim. And I'm grateful for the time that we have had together. It's just been wonderful. And on the other hand, one of my other great joys is that I have gotten to work with Marcia the whole time that I've been here. All 12 years. Her devotion to this instrument is a rare and beautiful thing. And until you've been out there working in the church, I'm not quite sure you know what a gift it is to have someone who loves the pipe organ and knows how to make it do what it can do. And it's a beautiful instrument and a wonderful organist to give it voice. And in her playing, to help give voice to the whole worshiping community, to speak for you and to accompany you, speak with you. Plus her understanding of the human voice. When I've watched her work with choir members, when she's helped to run a rehearsal or a sectional, that's been a great gift to see, that she's not just a keyboard person, she's a vocal person as well. Her unending patience with me. Gee, Karen, if you got me the hymns on Thursday, I might actually be able to pick some prelude and postlude music that goes with it. 12 years later, I still don't get her the hymns on Thursday, but she's never once, you know, given me a serious scolding, just little minor scoldings about it. But mostly what I'm grateful for is just her friendship. During this time, it has been a constant thread, stream running through my time here, a pedal tone, foundation of my work here, in especially in music, in the life of this church. And there are no words to say all that has meant to me over these years and will continue to mean to me. I'll cherish it in the years to come. So thank you both, and thank you, congregation, for giving me these people to work with during this time. So this last song is about those things that we take with us as we move through life, as we move through the changes in life. And it's about memories, and it's about friendships, and it's about places, and it's about people. One wonderful line in it that says, "Ain't no good thing ever dies." So it's written by Tom Waits and his wife. If you know Tom Waits, you know my voice is not like his. has this raspy whiskey voice. He's probably had a whiskey voice when he was two. But an amazing songwriter. And I want to thank Bob for sending this song my way as we were talking about what to do this morning. He said, "Have you heard this one?" And it was a version sung by an opera singer who's singing it in a more pop style, so that was helpful, too, to hear a woman sing it rather than Tom Waits. I would have been scared away from it completely. But it's one of those songs, it's like When I Was a Boy. It's the perfect blend of a beautiful melody and a great poem and speaking a truth that is just irresistible and perfect for this moment in my life. Take it with me.
Phone's off the hook, no one knows where we are. It's a long time since I drank champagne. The ocean is blue, as blue as
So as the psalmist says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come into her presence with singing. For God is good, her steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Amen.